These are two terminologies which are used synonymously. Offer or proposal means one and the same. The learning objectives of this chapter are the definition, essentials of a valid offer or a proposal, and finally, the differentiation between an offer and an invitation to offer. The term proposal. It is defined under section 2A as follows. When one person signifies to another his willingness to do or abstain from doing anything, with a view to obtaining the assent of that other to such an act or abstinence, he is said to be making a proposal. Friends, if I am just looking into this definition, one person, A, signifies or indicates to B, that is to another, his willingness, his desire to do or abstain. The terminology abstain means to refrain or not to do anything. And why is he doing this? In order to see that he obtains the consensus or the approval, which is called assent, A-S-S-E-N-T. You will also note that we have a terminology which is called A-S-C-E-N-T in English, which means to rise up the ladder. But A-S-S-E-N-T means an approval or a consensus or the acceptance by the other. And if he does this to such an act of approval or abstinence, the man is said to be making a proposal or an offer. I shall now give you two illustrations. A tells B, I shall sell my property in Mumbai for a sum of rupees 1 crore unto B, provided you give me an installment of 50 lakhs. Now, this is an act of a desire, which is a positive act on the part of A unto B. This is one side of the definition. We have a negative side, my friends, when you see, it is an act of obviously to do or abstain from doing. X tells Y, I will not file a suit in a court of law. I'm not going to file a case against you, provided you give me the money which you owed me 2 years back. Can you understand this, my friends? He's entitled to file the suit, but he tells Mr. B, the opposite party, I will not do it. That is called abstaining. What is this abstaining? Not to do. I will not file a case against you. So similarly, the husband could tell the wife, on the grounds of divorce, fine, do not file a case against me. I will give you money as alimony to a larger extent. So this is called abstinence or not doing, which is perfectly valid. And therefore, when here A tells B, I will not file a case against you, provided you part with the money, is an act of abstinence, wherein the person making the offer is called the offerer or the proposer. The person to whom it is made is called as the offeree. The willingness to do or abstain from doing anything, that is the proposal or offer. The willingness to do or abstain from doing anything, namely the proposal or offer, must be made with a view to obtaining the assent of the other party thereto. For example, A's willingness to sell his radio set to B for a sum of rupees 500. If B accepts to purchase the same, it amounts to a proposal by A for the sale of the radio set. But if a statement is made without any intention to obtain the assent of the other thereto, that cannot be termed as a proposal. So therefore, if you have no intention of telling B that I am not interested in entering into a deal with you, the proposal or offer is said to be invalid. Essentials of a valid proposal or an offer. The terms of the offer must be certain. It means the terms shall not be uncertain, it shall not be vague or ambiguous. A tells B, I wish to sell oil unto you. Now here, he has not mentioned what is the quantity, what is the quality, what is the price, and this is left hanging. This is called uncertainty. So, the terms of the offer which is uncertain is a void agreement. Why? Because it lacks certainty, which is an important essential element of a valid contract. Rule 2. The proposer cannot dictate terms. A cannot tell B, I am selling you a radio set, okay? If you don't give me the approval by next week, I think you will already have it accepted. No, offerer, if the opposite party has not given his consent, it means he has rejected you. So therefore, proposer, you cannot dictate the terms of the offer whereby you cannot have any term of non-compliance wherein it doesn't mean that if the opposite party has not given his consent, it is deemed to be an acceptance. Rule 2. An offer must be intended to create a legal relationship, and therefore it is only legal obligations which involve a moral involvement with both the parties whereby there is a tie to have it enforced in a court of law. And therefore, if X tells Y, I wish to sell my property unto you and you have to pay me obviously a crore of rupees, it means if A doesn't part with the property or B doesn't part with the price, either party can file a suit in a court of law. A mere statement of intention does not constitute a binding promise, even though a person to whom it is made acts upon it. Now, what does this mean? This is called what is a statement or an intention to perform. This is an invitation. Now, you would have seen, my friends, we have something which is called as a price list, a catalogue, a quotation, a window display. Is this an offer? No, it is an invitation to offer. So, I'm just inviting the offer from the other person, and therefore, it is the person, for example, if it's an auctioneer, he says, I'm going to sell the goods. There'll be many bidders in the auditorium. The man who makes the bid is said to be making an offer. The auctioneer will now strike the hammer when he wants to accept. So this is called the intention, wherein this is different from an offer. An offer, when accepted, becomes an agreement, whereas an invitation is an area which comes before the offer. The words used must apply to definite persons to create a legal relationship. The offer must be made to a definite person. We have two kinds of offers, my dear friends. One is called as a specific offer and one is called as a general offer. When A makes an offer unto B, this is called specific offer. It is made only to B. On the other hand, an offer made to the public at large. I put an advertisement in the newspapers. Anybody finding my lost bag with my mobile or with my area of any other lost property will kindly get in touch with me. This is an offer to the public at large, which is called as a general offer. An offer can be expressed or implied from the circumstances. An offer which is made orally or in writing is called an express offer. Implied, as we have already seen, it is similar to an implied contract. When I board a cab from an X destination or I board into a BEST bus, it is implied or inferred that I pay the ticket for the same is an implied offer. An offer must be communicated to the offeree. Here, friends, I have a very famous case law, which is called Lalman Shukla versus Gauri Dutt. Lalman was a master who asked his servant, please fetch my missing boy who has gone absconding. The servant, without waiting for a second, immediately went in search of the boy. Subsequently, one of his friends told him that there is a reward announced by the master. Mr. Servant, obviously, wanted to file a suit against the master to claim the reward. Now, friends, can the servant get the reward? The answer is no. Why? The offer is not communicated to the offeree. When the master obviously had told the servant, fetch the boy for me, did the servant ask the master, what are you giving me in return, sir, if I get the boy? No, you did not get a reply to this. And therefore, any acceptance which is not communicated, you cannot claim any reward. Because in the case of a specific offer, you have to be certain on the terms and conditions wherein it has to be enforced in a court of law. And therefore, unfortunately, the servant did not succeed with the master because it was a area whereby there was an acceptance in ignorance of the terms of the offer. The offer may be conditional, but the conditions must be clearly communicated. Friends, there are special terms in offer wherein we make it a point to say, when you are traveling in a train or in any mode of transport and you check out in a hotel, the company makes it a point to tell you any loss of baggage is not the responsibility of the railway company. Now, can the passenger file a case against the company? The answer is no, you cannot, because the offer here, although is one which is with conditions, the conditions are clearly communicated to the passenger that any loss of baggage is at the risk of the passenger and not the company. So therefore, the offer may put any n amount of conditions, but these conditions have to be clearly communicated. Again, I'll give you one more illustration wherein if there is any ticket whereby, supposing I have a railway ticket, on the back of the ticket, there is an interpretation in a local language. Let me put it as Hindi or Marathi, stating any loss of baggage is not obviously the responsibility of the company. I as a passenger doesn't follow Hindi or Marathi. Is it the responsibility of the company? No, my friends, you are required to ask your friend to have it interpreted, because this is not the issue of the railway company, because the company has already communicated or informed you in a local language, and therefore the law says ignorantia juris non excusat, and ignorance of language or jurisprudence is not the excuse as far as Indian law is concerned. Supposing I have an Adivasi who comes from a tribal area and says, I do not know that I had to have a ticket because in my village, I travel on a camel's back without ticket. Is that an excuse? No, sorry, sir. It cannot be done, because ignorance of language is no excuse under the Indian scenario. So therefore, an offer, obviously, all the conditions must be clearly communicated unto the offeree. Finally, the person making it should intend to be bound by it as soon as it is accepted by the other. Passenger, once you have accepted the terms, please be bound by whatever the offerer states, and therefore it becomes a binding and valid agreement. Now we come down to what is called as a counter offer. A counter offer is a rejection of the original offer. For example, A offers B to sell a second-hand Honda car for rupees 1.8 lakhs. B stated that he would buy it for 1.5 lakhs, for which price A has refused to sell. B's offer of rupees 1.5 lakhs is called as a counter offer. This means, my friends, here is a conditional acceptance whereby B has told A, I'm accepting it, but for a lesser price than what you have quoted. An acceptance cannot be conditional. An offer can be conditional, because the man selling can put in number of conditions because it is his property. You as the acceptor, the party at the other end, cannot put conditions. It has to be unconditional or unqualified. And therefore, where A has refused to sell and B's offer for rupees 1.5 lakhs is called as a counter offer. So subsequently, even if B says he would buy the car for rupees 1.8 lakhs, this is called as a new offer and A is not bound to accept. Therefore, there is no contract until the counter proposal is accepted by the original proposer. So friends, any kind of counter proposal is called as a conditional acceptance in law, which is considered absolutely invalid. We now come down to the area of a standing or open offer. An advertisement inviting a tender is not an offer in itself. It is merely an intention to invite offers. This is called a standing or an open offer, which may be revoked before any order has been placed. I have already given you an illustration, my dear friends, wherein I said there is an auctioneer. He's having certain stolen property which is to be sold by auction at a particular venue. There are several people who have come into the auditorium and each has quoted a price. This is called as a bid in English. The bid is called as an offer. Now, it is up to the auctioneer to have it accepted or rejected. And therefore, these are called standing or open offers. So therefore, I may have a bid for 20,000. There may be a second person for a bid of 30,000 and a third bid for 50,000. I, as the acceptor, I put down the hammer and wherein I close down there with the highest person who gives the bid of 50,000, I close the contract. Or I'm entitled to revoke. A revocation means I withdraw the offer before the conclusion of the contract. Finally, we come down to differentiation between an offer and an invitation to offer. When the proposer intends to bind himself by the same, when it is accepted by the other, it is called as an offer. When a person invites offers through a price list, a catalogue, advertisement, a window display, tenders, etc., it is an invitation to offer. Secondly, in the case of an offer, he does not reserve to do some further act before being bound by his offer. And therefore, once here the offer is sought to be accepted, it constitutes an agreement. He has nothing further to do. But whereas in an invitation to offer, he reserves to do some further act before being bound by his invitation to offer. So similarly, as we have already stated, wherein the auctioneer tells the parties, the bidders, fine, it is up to me to either accept you or reject you, tantamounts to an invitation to offer. Thank you very much, my friends. Here we close down with the discussion on offer or proposal.